from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Four good guests for you today. Audric Estime, the running back at Notre Dame, will stop by at the top of the hour. We'll have two guests back-to-back in the 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific hour. And Andy Avalos, the head football coach at Boise State. They get set to kick off their season, favored to win their conference, and they'll be going up against number 10, Washington. Tyler Medikevich will join us, do a little first and goal and preview his Buffalo Bills. And then at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, John Gambadoro from Arizona Sports Radio is going to stop by to preview the Arizona Cardinals. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
Okay, so let's start the show today with the Arizona Cardinals. We know Kyler Murray is out. We'll see when he returns. You thought Colt McCoy was going to be the starting quarterback. He gets released. And now Joshua Dobbs gets traded there. You have Clayton Toon as well on this depth chart. David Blau as well. Like, you look at the names here for the Arizona Cardinals at just the quarterback position. Even if they had Kyler Murray fully healthy and ready to go week one, which they do not, this would still be one of the worst teams in football. But not knowing when Kyler Murray is going to come back, and even if he comes back sooner than what you expect, and this is by far and away the worst team in the league. And you look at this roster with the guys that they have got rid of, or the guys that are not available, and then you even have a guy in Buda Baker who doesn't want to be there, but he's still under contract. Zach Ertz, I know he's now back and somewhat healthy. I'm sure he's regretting coming on back. You look at this team flat out stinks. When your marquee players on offense right now are James Conner, who's a solid running back, Zach Ertz, in the year of 2023, and this is not Zach Ertz from 5 years ago, this is going to be a long season and a brutal season for the Arizona Cardinals. And we've seen them make several moves this week and going back to last week. It's clear that this organization, and I want to be clear when I say this, the people that are in charge of putting together the roster, the owner of the team and Michael Bidwell, and then Monty Ossenfort, I'm talking about those two guys, their goals this year, no matter what they say publicly, and their main goal this year is to get the number one overall pick. People that run teams can devise up a plan to tank, but it does not mean the players on the field are tanking. The perfect example, the Miami Dolphins a few years ago. I know they ended up getting Tua, but the whole slogan was tank for Tua, and then Tua didn't even go number one in the draft. They ended up getting the fifth overall pick, I believe, when they ended up selecting Tua Tagovailoa, and then Herbert went six. But that team was not formulated by their general manager and then also their owner and Stephen Ross to win games that year. But Brian Flores coached his ass off, and the players responded to Brian Flores, and they won more games than they expected. So there is a clear distinction there. It depends who you're asking in the Cardinals organization. They'll never admit it publicly, because then you'll get fined and suspended, things like that. But Monty Ossenfort and Michael Bidwell, their intention this year, without a doubt, is to get the number one overall pick. And why? Because you have a generational player who, remember Tom House said it right before the Heisman Trophy, then we asked Caleb Williams about it, that he does a lot of things similar to Patrick Mahomes. And they talked about maybe being on that same level of Patrick Mahomes. And then Caleb Williams didn't just say, oh, that's a nice compliment. He said, yeah, that's a nice compliment. That's a cool compliment. But anytime I've watched Patrick Mahomes, I've looked at Patrick Mahomes and said, there's nothing that he could do that I can't do. So you know that There's a confidence to Caleb Williams. He had a monster season last year, going to have another monster season this year. And barring something crazy, and I know Drake May is this really highly touted prospect as well at UNC, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. And it's kind of nuts and shows the dysfunction with the Cardinals organization that we're going to be looking at them drafting a third quarterback in the first round in a short time span where it was Josh Rosen. After 1 year of Josh Rosen, you bring in Cliff Kingsbury, you have the number one overall pick, you end up drafting Kyler Murray. You didn't need to extend Steve Keim, Cliff Kingsbury, and Kyler Murray when you did. You did that. We know Keim's out of a job. We know Kingsbury's out of a job. And now Kyler Murray's going to probably be on a new team next year. Because I'm trying to look at upside here. And I know we always try to predict who's going to be the worst team each and every year. And in most years, I don't want to say we're dead wrong, but we don't end up getting it right with the number one overall pick. But I don't see a way this season, even if you have Kyler Murray coming back sooner than what you expect, where the Arizona Cardinals, because Kyler Murray has his own flaws, but how the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to be picking one in the NFL draft this year at the end of April, and I believe Detroit. And you may say to me, Zach, man, I'll pump the brakes on that. There's a lot of other bad teams in the league. Like, Hickey, I'll throw this out to you right now. I was looking at the odds for the worst record in the NFL. Can you predict here? And I'm actually surprised by this. And this was a list on Fox Sports. And it goes back a few weeks ago in July. But I was shocked to see some of the odds here. Can you predict right now the five best odds to land the number one overall pick? That just sounds like dirty and wrong when you say it. But who do you think those five teams are?
I will say the Cardinals.
They're one at plus 340 to get the number one overall pick.
Texans are two.
Yep, at plus 900. I will say this. One out of the remaining three. Actually, I don't think you'll get any of these three. But one I could see.
I'll go with the perception of these teams being bad, not my personal opinion. Are the Buccaneers in there?
Very good. I did not think you would differentiate the way you think about the Buccaneers compared to how most of us think about the Buccaneers. And I don't think the Bucs are going to be bad enough to be the number one overall pick. I think they'll be picking in the top 10, but not number one overall. They're plus 950. Do you think you get 4 and 5 here? The fifth one, now they're tied with someone, so you got to guess another team there.
Get two. Okay.
So you really have three more guesses here, but one of these teams, I just think there's no chance that they can get the number one overall pick this year.
Is it the Raiders?
The Raiders are one of those teams that are tied for the fifth spot at plus 1,300.
Are the Rams in the top five?
They are, plus 1,000. That was at four. So tied for fifth, you will never guess this team.
Now, I will never guess this team?
Now, I'll give you a clue. They've been in the news a lot. They've been in the news for some crazy things. But I don't see a way that they're going to be bad enough to be a team that is going to be in even in the top five of the draft this year.
Is it the Washington Commanders?
It is. Good job out of you.
Look at that. Usually, I can predict the worst.
You know what? Well, that's you said it, not me. I was going to give you a compliment. Usually you say that you're awful with these things when I go to you on the spot. But yeah, the Commanders at plus 1,300. I don't know about you. And we'll get into some of this Ron Rivera stuff and just some of the craziness he keeps on saying. And there's no way the Commanders are the number one overall pick, or let alone a top five pick in the draft for this upcoming year. I just don't see. They have too much talent.
They have too much talent, especially on offense. I would agree. I'm assuming that's mostly because, Sam Howell's the quarterback. Okay, he's going to stink. Like, I feel like betting lines are more just getting people to bet than actually how they think the season's going to go. So that's at least part of the reason why I went with that, I guess.
By the way, I'm surprised you didn't mention one team.
The Colts.
Yeah, plus 1,400. Now, Jonathan Taylor.
Just outside the top 10. Or top five.
Jonathan Taylor, I'll say this in air quotes, he's back. He didn't get traded, but now he's on the PUP list, so he's going to miss the first four games of the year. And I'm going to assume, we'll get your thoughts on this, Hickey, Mr. Negative 1,000% chance that he was going to get traded. You were right that he wasn't going to get traded. I agreed that it was like 60%. That he wasn't going to get traded, 40% that he was going to get traded. I never thought that there was a negative percent chance he was going to get dealt. But here we are with your Indianapolis Colts in this Jonathan Taylor situation where I guess you could exhale for now just because it gets put on the back burner, but we still don't know when he's going to come back, when he's going to want to play for this team, and I guess be healthy enough. And with the trade deadline a few weeks after 4 weeks when he's eligible, I guess, to return, it would not surprise me if this pops back up once again.
Oh, I don't see why he's traded in season. This is it. If you're the Colts and you wanted to return and there was interest reportedly and you rejected the deals, now that he's going to miss bare minimum the first four games and then you're going to have, at most, Jonathan Taylor, four games only when you haven't played since December to come out and hit the ground running to show teams you still got in order to kind of up a trade request, when you're going to get less in a trade in October than you would have now, no way he's getting traded.
Let me rephrase this. The Colts may not trade him, but he's still going to try to do his best to force a trade out. And he's already, him and his agent have already tapped into a little bit of the James Harden playbook. Maybe they fully read the James Harden playbook to try to expedite a deal, even though that's more of an NBA thing compared to the NFL. But we've seen a few players do it throughout the years, and Jamal Adams and also Jalen Ramsey as well. So let me ask you this. If the Arizona Cardinals aren't picking first in the draft this upcoming April, who's the team?
Because Houston. Arizona, because they have Houston's pick.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Which is why that trade is dumber and dumber.
I actually think going into this season, the Colts are going to be worse than the Texans. I think it's your Indianapolis Colts where if the Arizona Cardinals don't get the number one pick, and I think we're both in agreement that they're going to get the number one pick, that it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts. Because I think the Texans will win five or six games this year. Tampa Bay, they'll regress, but they're not going to be number one. The Rams have a shot because they have some talent. Cooper Kupp's hurt. You got Matthew Stafford coming off an injury. Aaron Donald, maybe he tries to force his way out. But after that, the roster stinks. I can't see it being the Commanders at plus 1,300. The Raiders, I think, will be a little bit better than what people expect. The Colts, I think, are going to be bad. The Bears will be improved. The Patriots, Belichick will always find a way to win six or seven games, bare minimum. Carolina with Bryce Young, as long as he can stay healthy, they should win some games this year. So I go through this of the potential teams when you look at the odds. And there's a lot of teams, right, that are in the AFC that we're saying could be really good teams that miss the playoffs. I look at the two worst teams in football going into this season. For me, it's the Arizona Cardinals 1, and then it's Indianapolis Colts 2. Let me just ask you this. And I don't know if this is you. It's not inconceivable to say that the Texans are going to be worse than the Colts, so I'm not going to crush you for that. But is that more so you genuinely believing that, or is there like a little Colts, ugh, you know, we have Anthony Richardson now. I don't even want to think about getting the number one overall pick. And there's an actual reason why you believe the Texans are going to be worse than the Colts for this upcoming year.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't mind getting the number one overall pick. I'll take Caleb Williams again in a heartbeat tomorrow. So it's not like, oh, I'm trying to just put my team and almost will them in a way to say, oh, of course they're better than the Texans. I just look at, even though it's a dire situation right now, I just think the Colts have more talent on both sides of the ball than the Texans do. And I think they're going to be a little bit better. Again, if you think the Texans are, let's say, getting four wins, can I see the Colts getting more than five? No. I think they're going to be, you know, within a win of each other. I don't think it's going to be that drastic of a difference, but I just think the Colts are slightly better talent-wise right now than where Houston is.
Do they have a game late in the season again? Oh, final game of the year. Texans and Colts. And there'd be more motivation there for the Colts because the Texans, if they lose, they don't even get the pick going back to the draft with that trade.
And after last year, where they blew their own chance to get the number one overall pick, unbelievable.
You know the Colts will win that game, too.
You know what? You're probably right. You are probably right. If they have a chance to lose and get Caleb Williams, they would probably win that game. And at that point, probably keep Richardson. But yeah, it's
you know what's going to happen there? That's the day where Jonathan Taylor wakes up feeling dangerous and goes, I got to screw over the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to request a trade once again in the offseason. Let me go run for 250 yards, win the game, and then lose the number one overall pick. But seriously. Even though those are some teams we talk about, the Texans and the Colts, and it's not crazy to say they'll get the number one overall pick, I really have a tough time seeing any other team get the number one overall pick outside of the Arizona Cardinals. Like, that's the team to me that I think is going to get the number one overall pick. And you bring up a great point. If it is the Texans, technically, that's going to be the Arizona Cardinals. So even if it's not them on their own doing, it kind of still will be them. And you could really have a situation, which I brought this up right after the draft, where I said, hey, even though I like what the Texans did making that trade and finally using some of those picks to go get resources and try to push this thing forward or start to push this thing forward after wasting 2 years, I look at Arizona, you have a really good chance where it's Caleb Williams going one to your team, or if even if you're two, you get Drake May, you pick a new quarterback, and then you could have the third overall pick or the second overall pick, you're right, in two out of those top three picks, and you could also get Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. And that would be the ideal coup for the Arizona Cardinals if you could get your quarterback, and then also you could go get Marvin Harrison Jr. as well.
That's why, again, I thought the biggest loser of the draft was the Texans for that exact reason. You trade a possible number one overall pick for a linebacker? No, absolutely not.
But for me, I have no problem. I like what the Cardinals did, but I have no problem with what the Texans did. Will Anderson Jr., some people thought he was the best player in this draft. So I don't have a problem with Will Anderson Jr. finally making those picks when you knew that C.J. Stroud was going to be your pick at two, and then you still wanted to go get Will Anderson Jr. I did not have a problem with that. Now, if it ends up being Caleb Williams and that would have been the Texans' pick, that stinks, but you knew the gamble there, and I'm okay with taking that gamble. I think the Texans will be a little bit better than what people think for this upcoming season. I'm not saying in a big way, but just be a little bit better than what most people think for this 2023 NFL season. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. Who do you think is going to be the worst team in the league this year? 855-212-4CBS. When we return, Jimmy Garoppolo comments on the Trey Lance trade. Plus, what are we expecting for Hickey's favorite team in the NFL this season? Not the Colts, but the Raiders. We'll talk a little silver and black next right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Audric Estime from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish had a big game over the weekend in Dublin, Ireland. Going to be stopping by in about 35, 40 minutes from now. But let's play a little Jimmy Garoppolo. He was on with Sports Illustrated's very own Robin Lundberg, who used to work here at CBS Sports Radio. You have any clue, Hickey, when I said Robin Lundberg's name, I said Robin Lundberg. Any idea? You should know why.
Why? No.
Did you ever produce for Robin?
Voice? No, I don't think so.
Okay, that would be why. I thought you would just be like asleep at the wheel when you'd be running the board for Robin, because he used to be on at 6 a.m. Eastern time.
That's right.
Either Saturday or Sunday mornings. I think it was Saturday for a bunch of years. But for some reason, the voiceover guy, whenever Paul Turner he would say Robin Lundberg's name, would never just be like, here's your host, Robin Lundberg, or here's your host, Zach Gelb. It would be, here's your host, Robin Lundberg. And that's how I always remember driving home from the weekend overnights, hearing Robin Lundberg over and over and over again. So kind of kept me awake or haunted me as I was trying to make that 2-hour trek back to Philadelphia when I was still living in the city of brotherly love. And I would drive back after those 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time overnights, which was not always the brightest decisions. And there would be sometimes you kind of like space out while driving and you just be so tired and lucky just to still be living. But anyway, Robin had a big guest. That was Jimmy Garoppolo. Here is Jimmy Garoppolo reacting to Trey Lance being traded to the Cowboys.
Weird situation. Been a lot of weird situations over there in San Francisco, just to leave it at that. But, I'm happy Trey got another shot, man.
How do you think San Francisco's handled those quarterback situations?
How do you think they've handled them?
I think it's been messy. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if Robin goes, oh, they were right in drafting Trey Lance to replace you, and then I think it's a mistake to get rid of Trey Lance? Wouldn't that have been awesome if we got that reaction from Robin Lundberg basically telling Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, you weren't going to win a Super Bowl there. And they brought in a guy that thought could win a Super Bowl. And then they all of a sudden gave up on him way too early. I would have loved that response right there from Robin Lundberg instead of whatever he just said.
Messy. Yeah, that messy was a nice way to put maybe saying what he said. differently, not offending Jimmy G as his guest. I don't think Jimmy G would have agreed, let's say, if Robin said, yeah, they did the right thing. Like he agreed with Messi.
So here's the part with Jimmy Garoppolo, where he knows whatever he says there is going to be a headline. And him saying it's Messi, he's not wrong. But I think a lot of that is probably because he views it as, I got to a few NFC championship games, and then this team wanted to replace me. I can't fault the 49ers for wanting to replace Jimmy Garoppolo, because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he got close, is a guy that you're going to win a Super Bowl with. And also, unfortunately, Jimmy Garoppolo, every other year it seems like, Hickey, just gets injured and isn't available. So Jimmy's not wrong in saying that it's Messi over there, but I think he views it as he got screwed over, and I don't think that's the case, that Jimmy Garoppolo got the short end of the stick out in the Bay Area where they used to play a candlestick for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, 100%. Like, I honestly don't think the 49ers have done a lot wrong with the quarterback situation overall. You could say, like...
Well, Trey Lance, yeah.
Well, but at the time, like, I don't think it was a bad move whatsoever. You get a guy that you think can elevate your offense more than Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I don't think taking a chance there is the wrong thing whatsoever.
So, two things. One, the reason why the Trey Lance pick was a bad pick is your offensive mastermind in Kyle Shanahan did not want Trey Lance originally. He wanted someone else. The other thing is, yes, you could be right in the idea, and I think you are right in the idea, we need someone at three that's going to get us over the hump, which Jimmy Garoppolo could not do. So to give up on that guy after four games, that to me is a mistake. That's where it ends up being messy. I think it's messy because Shanahan wasn't all in on the pick originally, and he was talked into it. And then to give up on a guy that you moved mountains to go get after only four games starting, one, as we said, was in a monsoon, the other, he got hurt. That's premature to give up on the guy for just the fourth round pick.
We are both in agreement, right? They should have kept Trey Lance. I'm not trying to like change my opinion, but yeah. I will offer this different perspective. Like, in a way, I do respect what San Francisco did because the drama is gone. Like, there's no more Trey Lance questions. He's off the team. Now it's Brock Purdy's team. Now, obviously, if he gets hurt, that's when things kind of, you know, go to hell. But
then
honestly,
it's Sammy's team.
Most times when your team's quarterback gets hurt, your season's going to hell anyway. So it's one of those things where the drama is gone. Trey Lance was not going to play anyway. And the guy that you're playing now in a small sample size, but granted seven games, played pretty well. I think it takes a lot of fortitude to go all in, give up two first-round picks to go get number three, and in 2 years say, you know what, the guy, we can't work out. Let's trade him. I think too many times teams double down on mistakes to try to make themselves look right.
Well, you know why they do that.
Oh, we messed up. Let's just get out of heaven now. That's what the 49ers did.
But here's the luxury. Here's why I don't credit the 49ers for doing this and praise them for doing it, and no other team would do this. 49ers have a great roster construction. It makes it easier to do that. The reason why you'll see a guy like a Ryan Pace double and triple down on Mitch Trubisky, who ended up being Mitch Trubisky, is because he has no other option. His team stunk, so he needed that pick to be right to keep his job. For the 49ers, they can afford, as we've seen the last few years, to swing and miss on the quarterback position because you have guys like Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Trent Williams. Defensively, you got Nick Bosa. You got the Fred Warners of the world. So you have such a great team outside of the quarterback, it makes it easier to give up on a Trey Lance because it's not as if you're going to get fired for swinging and missing on Trey Lance because your team every year, it seems like it's in the NFC title game. And I'll just point back to what Matt Maiocco said with us the other day, where I said, hey, Matt, this may be a little bit of a silly question, but is Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat? And he said, when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch made this move to trade Trey Lance, that comes off as two guys that feel as if there's no pressure in terms of them losing their job because of the way that they've built the rest of this roster, and somehow, whether it's luck or skill, whatever you want to say, they did find their quote-unquote guy in Brock Purdy, and we'll see how long that's going to last as well.
But it still hurts your pride. Like, you gave up two first-round picks. If you're John Lynch, again, you gave up a lot to go get a guy that you thought was going to be the answer, and now to go to your boss and the owner and say, look, 2 years later, we messed up. We got to trade him now for a fourth-round pick. Can you help approve this? That is still not an easy conversation to have.
And Jed York didn't have the cojones to tell John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, no, we're not trading Trey Lance. He should have, but he didn't. And let's be real here, too. You said drama with the whole Trey Lance situation. Just because we're talking about it, just because other shows are talking about it, doesn't mean that it was that dramatic inside the organization. Now, Shanahan and Lynch may have been tired about talking about it, but everyone in that locker room right now will tell you that Brock Purdy, even before the Trey Lance trade, that Brock Purdy was their guy. So if it only matters what's inside the locker room, who cares if people ask you about Trey Lance? Because Trey Lance, and I will die on this hill, is still a better insurance policy, and I know you agree with this, for this upcoming season than Sam Darnold. He's a better insurance policy. So if you have to deal with the few questions, tough luck. For a fourth-round pick, it isn't worth it to trade Trey Lance because the big thing here is even though the fans in San Francisco have all been hypnotized to say that Brock Purdy's the next great quarterback, the entire team believes in Brock Purdy, right? Steve Young, who was on with us last week, said that Brock Purdy has the force. Everyone's sipping on the Brock Purdy Kool-Aid right now. What happens if Brock Purdy regresses? If Brock Purdy regresses, I have confidence in Sam Darnold? No. I'd much rather hand the baton over to Trey Lance. Now, on a totally different topic of conversation, just because we started this with the Jimmy Garoppolo remarks on Trey Lance being dealt. Two things. One more off this quote, and then one in a bigger idea. I thought it was kind of funny here, Hickey, how Jimmy Garoppolo was like, I'm excited that Trey Lance has this new opportunity. What opportunity is it? The guy's, what, a third-string quarterback? Cooper Rush played well last year. He's still being listed at number two on the depth chart. So, yes, it's a new opportunity. It's a new job. But are you put in a position to really succeed at this new job? Or probably a year from now, unless if Dak gets hurt and they don't want to go to Cooper Rush and then they go to Trey Lance, you're in really the same situation where you have a roster and a team that doesn't really believe in you.
And that's why I go back. I have no idea why the Cowboys traded for him in the first place. He's not going to get on the field. And now after this season in which you are planning and hoping for the Cowboys, right, you don't see Trey Lance because that means Dak Prescott got hurt and Cooper Rush did not play well or also got hurt. Then you have to exercise his fifth-year option, which is going to be, as the salaries rise, about $20-something million. Like, you're not going to do that for a third-string quarterback. So why give up an asset for a guy that you hope and probably won't see the field or even be the backup makes no sense whatsoever. So he'll probably be traded, honestly, again, this time next year and be on a third team
released.
In, yeah, what would that be, 4 years? And then try to hopefully, kind of like Jordan Love, have a year or two to kind of show what he's got. But that's the best case he's got.
Now, going to Jimmy Garoppolo, who's going to be playing for the Raiders this year, or hoping to play for the Raiders this year. We'll see if he'll be able to stay healthy. The Raiders were 6-11 last year. You would say that last year the Raiders were really dysfunctional, right?
Yes.
And they were still 6-11 with all that dysfunction. And that was in year one. Now, I'm not praising 6-11, but with how much we talked about them in a bad way, you would have thought they would have been a 3 or 4 win team. The Raiders over under this year is 6.5 wins. Now, Hickey, you are as critical as possible as there could be with this head coach in Josh McDaniels. You hate him. He's your least favorite person in the NFL. Let me just ask you this. With the talent that this team has, with Josh Jacobs now back, Davante Adams, you have also, if you want to throw Jacoby Myers in there, at least like on the offense side of the ball, Jimmy Garoppolo. Defensively, they don't have a ton of talent, but you got Chandler Jones, you got Max Crosby as well. Those are two big pieces up front. Will the Raiders be over or under 6.5 wins this year?
I'm going to say slightly under. I think they replicate their record from last year, 6-11.
I think they're going to get to 7. Now, I say that blindly without looking at their schedule. So they play Denver week 1, winnable game. They'll lose to Buffalo week 2. They play the Steelers, they probably lose. Play the Chargers, probably lose. They play Green Bay, winnable game. They play New England, winnable game. They won it last year. They play Chicago, winnable game. All right, you have the Lions, you probably lose. You have the Giants and Jets, probably loss. Play Miami, loss. Ooh, this is a tough schedule. Kansas City, loss. Minnesota, loss. Chargers, loss. Kansas City, divisional games, you could probably maybe get one that you're not, so I'll throw a fifth win in there. And then I have to find 2 more wins Indianapolis that should be a win, and then you get Denver at the end of the year. I think it's close, and maybe they lose a game that you expect them to win or win a game that you expect them to lose. But for some reason, I feel like everyone's crapping on the Raiders, and I understand why. They deserve to be crap on, but usually when that happens, I feel like that team does a little bit better than what people expect. But they need, for them to have a chance to get the 7 wins this year, they need Garoppolo to stay healthy, and they need Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams to continue to be two of the top, like, 15 players on that NFL top 100 list. And they had 3 last year, and look, that only got them 6 wins. But you would think, right, in year number 2, the team would improve a little bit, even though you can't stand Josh McDaniels. I'm only asking for 1 more win here from the Raiders.
You would think. Now, the issue, too, is Jimmy Garoppolo, is he going to stay healthy? If so, I would feel a little bit better about that. But honestly, with his career, can I truly sit here and say I'm going to bank on Jimmy G?
What about Aiden O'Connell, the next Brock Purdy?
Games? That's true. But look, unless Jacoby Myers wants to throw another backwards pass for a free win.
You know, that SOB. And I really like Jacoby Myers. But look at that guy. He threw the game for the Patriots, and now he's on the Raiders. I'm just wondering.
Collusion.
Was he on the Raiders payroll last year? Did Mark Davis say, we'll give you a little extra dough if you give us this win? We need one in the worst way.
There's some heat on McDaniels, too, going into that game. Would you be surprised? Look, Jacoby halftime. I need this one, buddy. I need this one. You get a chance to lose the game. You get an extra $100K, and we'll sign you to a fat deal next year.
And it gets you a win if you're Josh McDaniels over Bill Belichick, which, when he was back with the Broncos, beat the Patriots. Get another win up against Bill Belichick. Little ego boost for one Josh McDaniels.
Eli Manning and now Josh McDaniels. Bill Belichick's kryptonite. Okay. Just like we all thought.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Ugh, you brought up the name Eli Manning. Now I'm in just a miserable mood on this Tuesday. Ugh. Bunch of bad flashbacks. Super Bowl 42, Super Bowl 46. And listen to Ack there. I don't know if it picked it up in the microphone, but Ack is like laughing as if he's Dr. Evil. That's Are you a Giants fan?
Yes.
Oh, I never knew that about you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I never know who Ack's teams are outside of hockey where you root for the Rangers.
Yeah, well, that's because I don't really advertise like everybody else around here.
But you're a Mets fan, right?
Yes.
And NBA, I'm assuming you're a Knicks fan, but like, do you care about the NBA still?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You have to.
There you go.
It's what we do.
I know, but like, that's a you've been a tortured fan if you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get used to it. It's called New York.
Yeah. A lot of losing, a lot of bitching.
Yeah. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to what Ron Rivera had to say about Sam Howell in just a bit. But let me take one phone call right here. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Casey in South Carolina next up on CBS Sports Radio. Casey, what's shaking?
Man, not much, man. I just want to tell you and Hickey, man, I love listening to y'all because y'all give us the information. It's such a common way of saying things with the perfect amount of analysts that even the highest guy in the room can understand, get his dose of sports, and be happy. That guy would be me, but I do have a question.
Let me just ask you this, Casey. Who sounds weirder when you're in that state of mind? Do I sound weirder to you or does Hickey? Like, who makes you say, what the heck is this guy saying? Is it just me or is it them?
Well, I'll tell you this. Hickey completes the show. I'll put it to you that way, man. Listening to him talk and his comebacks at you, at least with between his voice and his sense of humor and yours, y'all jive well enough that when he talks, he just adds to you. I'll say that. And
gotcha.
When I'm high, it really makes it pretty cool.
So when you take like a little bong rip, you're like, what did Hickey just say?
So I'm more of a blunt guy. I'm plowing a blunt while I'm driving and listening to you, honestly.
Well, I don't advocate doing that while you're driving, but what do you want to say, Casey?
So I want to say you asked about who the worst teams in the NFL are, and I honestly think it's going to be a tie. I don't think the C.J. Stroud experiment is going to work out, but at least I believe he'll survive a hit. That being said, my Carolina Panthers, I don't think the Bryce Young experiment is going to work out. I just don't. I don't see it, man. The edge position in today's NFL is such a dangerous position because a lot of times quarterbacks aren't getting hit up the middle anymore. They're getting hit from behind or off to the sides, and that's a lot more dangerous than right up the middle. And so I think injury is really going to take its toll on Bryce, and it's just going to be reliant on, you know, old veterans that they got like Adam Thielen He hasn't really proven himself and other positions on the offense. And you know, I just don't think they're going to have a good season. It's going to go down fast. But I have one more for you. My Gamecocks are in an interesting position this year, one like I haven't seen in my entire career except for one time during Spurrier era. But I believe we can win the national championship this year, barring no injuries. If our offensive line, our offensive tackle position specifically, can get straightened out, Carolina will win the national championship this year, and Spencer Rattler will go number one. But, God, I don't want to see him a Cardinal.
Well, here's what I'll say, Casey, and thanks for the phone call. With how you started the phone call, I think you may be partaking in those activities right now. And we are big fans of the South Carolina program. Heck, we had Spencer Rattler on yesterday. I always love our conversations with Shane Beamer. But Hickey, I think that is the first and last call of the year. And I've been very optimistic about South Carolina that we will take from someone thinking that South Carolina can win the national championship. That was really some sort of phone call right there.
You know, that's the preseason call we need, though. That's the optimism. That's the fired up nature.
That's you.
That we need right now. Spencer Rattler, number one overall. Gamecocks running the table, beating Georgia, beating Michigan. You name it, they'll take them down. That is what we need. That's what I live on. That's what gets you up in the morning every single day.
Well, now we know Casey has already rolled the blunt today. There is no doubt about that.
I'm sure
that's
probably more than one.
Take.
Good
now,
for him.
He also said Spencer Rattler, the number one overall pick. It's going to be Caleb Williams and Drake May will be the first two quarterbacks off the board. Even though I could see Spencer Rattler having a big season, and I brought this up yesterday when we were talking about Jalen Hurts. They were in the same locker room together at Oklahoma. You know, Jalen Hurts had a monster final season after having a transfer at Oklahoma. He's a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. He didn't even go until the second round. And they were in the college football playoff as well. So, like, I kind of look at that where if that's going to be the case where, like, we all know Rattler's not getting to the college football playoff, but if you look at the year that Hurts had and he was only getting to the second round, I would have a tough time believing that Spencer Rattler, who at one point was thought to be a number one overall pick, is going to end up being a first-round pick. Maybe late first round at best, but I would still say the earliest he goes is probably in the second round.
I do not think, I'm with you, he will not be a first-round pick. I don't think he's going to the first round. The thing I guess I'll say is why I would it could be more likely than Jalen Hurts. I think there's a real concern about Jalen Hurts. Is his system, does the way he played fit the NFL? I think for a large part, the answer was no. Spencer Rattler's playing in a pro-style system. So there's not a question of, hey, is this just a guy, a product of Oklahoma, you know, air raid offense, easy reads, or can this guy actually, for the most part, play the position of quarterback? That, I think, is partly what led to him getting pushed down into some people's draft boards.
You're also going to need a lot of these guys to fall out of the first round, too. You're going to need Bo Nix to come down to back to earth. You're going to need Michael Penix to come back down to earth. LSU, Florida State, guys like that. That are playing as well. You're going to need a lot of those guys, at least three or four of them, to flop this year. And Spencer Rattler have an all-time season for him to get, I don't want to say an all-time season, but a heck of a season to be a first-round pick. Because let's be real, if you get four or five quarterbacks in the first round, that's a rich amount of quarterbacks going in the first round usually.
He would have been in a good position if he was, I guess, 2 years older, right, in that 2021 draft, or I guess 2022, Kenny Pickett was only one quarterback in the first round going. You're right. There's a lot of talented quarterbacks that will and probably should go ahead of him.
And even look at last year. You had quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 4, and then no one else the rest of the first round. And what, Will Levis was the next quarterback off the board in the second round. So even last year, when we thought we were going to get four, you didn't end up getting four. And the year before that, as you so eloquently pointed out in an erudite way, everyone thought Malik Willis was going to get drafted the first round. He didn't even go to the third round. And it was only Kenny Pickett in the first round. So all we do is talk about quarterbacks leading up to the draft, but it doesn't mean that teams are always going to pull the trigger on a quarterback in the first round as well. I'll get into what Ron Rivera had to say later about Sam Howell. And we are big fans of Ron Rivera on this show. But the last 2 years, he keeps on putting his own foot in his mouth. And there's another instance of this in a quote that he shared to Albert Breer. We'll expand on this a little bit later, but I'll give you the quote right now. Ron Rivera said to Albert Breer, "You can ask my wife, Stephanie. All we bleep and talk about was the quarterback. What the quarterback did, who he was," Rivera said. "I kept saying, bleep, if I would have known this, I would have played him sooner." I appreciate Ron Rivera's honesty, but it's one of those things probably better off not being said. So it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We know we connect with one guy that likes to dabble in the 420 kind of business, if you know what I'm saying, each and every day, where he's a big fan of me and also a big fan of Hickey. And I like the way that he said that. I do think you complete the show, where I like what you add to the show and the element that you bring to the show. And we do have a pretty good back and forth, I would like to say. Audra Guesstimé, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, joins us next.